Totally Hockey at the 2019 IIHF Ice Hockey World Championship. It's day 7. And day 7 sees very special visitors here in our luxury studio booths in Bratislava. From ORF, Austria's Karl Huber.
Thanks for having me.
Not at all, Karl. Delighted to see you. And from all over the place, but particularly freelance hockey writer with The Athletic, Alex Appleyard.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So you've just come into Bratislava and straight into the mix, a little bit like the extraordinary Landeskog. It's been an incredible day. You know, you had that story, you had Voracek witnessing the birth of his son and then putting in a man of the match performance for the Czechs this evening. And you had yet more Kapokako magic. What was your story of the day?
From an Austrian perspective, of course, it was the expected loss to Sweden and kind of a lesson how to play hockey on this stage and on the A level, so to speak. So this was pretty amazing to watch. Was kind of the result we were afraid of, or we kind of expected, actually. Maybe not the goals coming this fast in our net, but it was a great performance by the Swedes, and we learned a lot, I guess.
Well, on what's been a pretty remarkable Thursday in Slovakia, let's get a reminder of the story of the day. Group A, Canada showed non merci to the French, winning 5-2. Thursday night, Finland beating Denmark 3-1, with yet more Special K from Kapokako.
In comes Kako. Kapokako walks in. Oh, what a move! He scores! Oh, Kapokako! Spectacular!
In Group B, Sweden started Colorado's Gabriel Landeskog fresh off the plane.
That was pretty easy. I mean, I was already here this morning, so why not suit up and play?
And got an avalanche of their own, 9-1 over Austria.
Centered, Landeskog in front of the net, scores!
Well, in the evening, there was the booze, there was the chronic, and the Czech Republic went supersonic, 6-3 over Latvia.
Simone plays it in for Michael Frolik for Voracek. Into the empty net.
Remember, you can check out highlights of all of those games and more on the IIHF app. And goals as they go in will be all over the IIHF social channels, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Well, it's hard to pick a game of the day out of that lot, but having just sat through the incredible encounter between the Czechs and the Latvians, let's start with that one. The atmosphere was probably the loudest we've seen so far in Bratislava. And then you had on the ice 9 goals, 2 game misconducts. It was steely, it was silky. It was an extraordinary performance, above all from the Czechs coming back from 2 goals down.
I think the thing for the Czech was that the amazing crowd in their backs. So it was like a 7th man on the ice. That always gives you a special energy. They had to step up their game in the second period because it's like a home championship for them as well. And for Slovakia, it doesn't look promising for the Slovaks to get into the quarterfinals. So it's very important for the tournament, I think, get the Czech in the next round or have an amazing game from them.
This game didn't look promising for the Czechs in the first period, Alex, at all.
Well, they came out really flat and actually quite ill-disciplined as well. They took some poor penalties. I feel like the neutral zone play was sloppy. They were letting the Latvians get into the zone and then draw penalties as well. But I think the big changing point of the whole game was actually the Byshevsky's game misconduct. It's kind of a controversial moment as well. I think initially from the stands, it did look like a hit to the head. Michael Repic was down on the ice, prone on the ice, looked seriously injured. But on the replay, it was a kind of a tough call, actually. I think it was maybe only deserving of 2 minutes.
So he's going down, his head's pretty much on the plexiglass anyway. It looked pretty brutal.
It did look that initially, but I think on reflection.
Well, before any of that, Latvia had taken the lead with 2 beautiful goals. Darzin involved in both. The first, his fake, which fakes the slap shot from point and then just slides it over, and Idrasis puts it away. And then wonderful goal from Darzin's after that.
Yeah, I mean, the amazing thing about Darzin's as well is he's a 34-year-old now, and he's coming off probably his second best season in the KHL. He never made it in the NHL. He was drafted by Nashville in 2003 in the 9th round, but just never quite made the NHL. And he's actually the captain of Dynamo Riga as well, where Latvia draw over half their team from. And I think that's one of the interesting things about Latvia in this tournament. When you see them play, they're just such a well-conditioned unit. They have more than half of the team from the same team. They're playing together on a regular basis, and they're very cohesive. You know, they've caused trouble for pretty much every team they've played against so far. They're not easy to break down, and they play well as a unit. And it was a piece of magic from him, kind of in the twilight of his career.
Latvians driving lorries through the Czech defence, if you like. But, as you mentioned, a five-minute game misconduct penalty, and that gave the Czech Republic the opportunity to work their way back into this game.
I think that moment was a massive turning point. The Czechs initially seemed kind of turned off. The crowd was quite quiet, and that moment happened and kind of all hell broke loose. The Czech players started being really physical around the net. You even saw Captain Voracek cross-checking a few times, and he's a big physical player, but he's not generally that aggressive. And I think he really got them back into the game and then had a, quite frankly, a miraculous performance. And I think that was really the turning point. He just put on a complete show. First of all, on the five-minute power play that they got from the misconduct, a beautiful cross-ice pass to Filip Hronek, who hammered it home with a really nice shot. He's a really good young player from the Detroit Red Wings. And from there on out, it just looked like the Czechs took over the game. He had Jankovac scoring a goal, and then Jakub Voracek himself with a beautiful shot to put them up 3-2. And from there on out, it just looked like the Czechs were going to win all the way.
The Voracek goal, I think, was 3-2. And then barely a minute later, you had Vrana diving past Elvis and managing to put the puck past him. And so it continued. Latvia did pull a goal back in the third period and threaten to make a game of it again. But an empty net goal at the end. And the Czech Republic, with a mighty win, they've got all their big games out of the way. Apart from Switzerland, they're looking mighty good at this point. How real a gold contender are the Czechs on the basis of what you saw this evening, Alex?
I mean, Latvia are not one of the better teams in the tournament, even though they play well as a unit. They only have, say, two or three real star players, one of those being the goaltender, Elvis Merzlikins. But the Czechs, with this crowd behind them in almost a home championships, just being a few kilometres away from the border, I think if they can keep this momentum going forward and if Jakub Voracek can keep putting in performances like that, they have a chance. Though it's going to be very difficult with the opposition in the tournament.
You're listening to the Totally Ice Hockey Show with James Richardson.
Okay, so Latvia, not the toughest of tests. They did lose to Russia, but they did also, in their opening game, the Czechs beat Sweden. And Sweden, as we saw earlier on today, Carl, are a proper side. Now, the big story prior to this game was the fact that Sweden had drafted in a couple of replacements, one of whom arrived, I think, at 8:45 on the plane from the States and immediately went into the starting lineup. That was all Austria needed.
Yeah, well, a player of this caliber, it doesn't matter when he arrives. Gabriel Landeskog, he shows what he can do day in and day out in the NHL, so it's no surprise that he fits in with a group of guys he probably knew from when he was younger. So that's not an issue for a team like Sweden. So it would probably be even a help for Austria. If we had a player of his caliber, he would fit right in from the start. So,
but you then sitting in the press box, checking the team sheet, first of all, is he going to play? Yeah. And then he's on the first line and he scores with pretty much the first play.
The problem in that situation is, as a team like Austria, you can't give a player of this caliber this much space in front of the net. So if there's any chance to
contain him,
yeah, thank you very much, then you have to be on his heels all the time. And but he's too good. Many of the Austrian players, or most of them, they never play against players like Gabriel Landeskog or pretty much two-thirds of the Swedish team. So
he picks up a couple of assists as well as that opening goal, one of which for Pedersen on a beautiful move, which I think illustrates what people were saying when it was announced that he'd be coming, the idea of him playing. So he was on a line at that point with Lindholm and Pedersen. All of a sudden, Sweden just seemed to have gone up a notch in terms of their ability, their physicality as well.
When Sweden play the way they play today, they're just almost unstoppable. And I think that comes actually from, even though everyone spoke about Landeskog coming, I think Jon Klingberg coming to the tournament is also extremely important. When you look at their defense now, they have Jon Klingberg, Oliver Ekman Larsson, Ekholm, and they also have Gustafsson, who was the sixth highest scoring defenseman in the NHL this year, and he's probably their fourth best defenseman on this roster.
So Klingberg coming in off a huge season with the Dallas Stars and Landeskog with the Avalanche with probably his best season yet in the NHL. So both players arriving in massive form. You had other great goals. Adrian Kemp hitting a shot 120 kilometers an hour. Rasmussen's shorthanded goal was a bit special as well. Sorry to go on about all these, Carl. But
oh, that's okay. That's what you expect when you see nine beautiful goals, most of them at least. And there were also terrible mistakes by the defense. So you can't afford to do that against a team like Sweden. So
yeah,
it's also a thing we have to learn as an Austrian team. So that's a good thing, so to speak.
Last year, you were able to avoid relegation. How confident are you about doing the same this time around?
what we saw from the Austrian team so far was they had some pretty good games or pretty good periods, so to speak. They played against Latvia 40 minutes, played very well, but then they had, were unfortunate that the Latvians found their precision in shooting and found the net so quickly. And against Russia, they also played better than expected. And Switzerland is always special to play against your neighbors and kind of a role model for what you want to achieve in the future. And at the moment, the spirit is quite good. We are all quite positive, especially the team, because they showed the one win against Belarus last year was so special because it was they kind of delivered when what they promised. They won this one big game. You have to win if you want to stay up on the A group. And now you have two chances against Norway and Italy in the end. And so far, what we saw from the other teams, there's a 50-50 chance that they can achieve that again.
All right, or possibly even better. We'll be talking a little bit about the Italians and their current problems in a bit. Sweden, meanwhile, have Switzerland next, and then Latvia, and then what should be an almighty group decider when they take on the Russians. Anyway, that was Thursday in Group B. What was happening, meanwhile, in Košice? We'll find out after this. So, over in Košice today, two big games, Canada taking on France, and in the evening game, Denmark up against Finland, which finished 3-1 to the Finns. To tell us about their performance, and one man in particular, as usual, it is the Finnish legend Tuomo Ruutu joining us now on the line. Tuomo, I'm so delighted you could be with us on the show. You're a man who knows all about winning gold, of course, here in Slovakia.
Yeah, I mean, good memories from here.
When you look at this team, and we'll talk about tonight's performance in a second, but when you look at this Finnish team, I don't think many people thought they'd be in with the chance of repeating that gold success in 2011 this year, but they're building some momentum right now.
They definitely are. I mean, before the tournament, they've been together for a while, and I think it's been a big advantage. You know, they've been playing really well. They've been like machines, to be honest. I don't remember when was the last time we had such a good start like this.
Well, things took a wrong turn with the game against the USA and that 3-2 overtime loss. And there were 2 days for the team and the thousands of Finnish fans there in Košice to kind of simmer on that. And then Denmark started off by actually taking the lead in this game.
Yeah, it wasn't an easy start. For Denmark, it was pretty much the must-win game to make it the next round. So that's how they came out. And they've had a great power play in this tournament. They've scored like fifth goal. And in this game, they obviously scored the sixth goal. So they have a really good power play. But like I said, Finland has been like a machine. And they've been really... They played the winning style game where even today, when they were down 1-0, they just kept grinding and grinding and found a way to win.
Grinding and also producing pieces of absolute magic like Kaapo Kakko's goal in this game, his sixth of the tournament. Would you call it his best one yet?
It's tough to compare. I mean, there definitely have been some nice ones, and that wasn't a grinding one. I mean, he's just playing unbelievable tournament right now, and it's tough to describe. Just the highlight goals every game, and like you forget that he's 18 years old and playing such a big role for Finnish team.
Tuomo, the goal has gone viral all over the place, and there was a great response from New Jersey Devils who just simply tweeted, oh, with a little link to the replay, because they've got a big decision to make. The Rangers have got a big decision to make. You know all about going in the first round of the draft, which is a bit of a Finnish habit as well. Kaapo looks like a really once-in-a-generation talent at this point. What's your view on him?
Of course. I mean, he's a top-level guy. He's going to be, you know, one of the top guys in this year's draft and something special. No countries have those kind of players every year, and he's a rare case. But most of all, I think he's got a lot of things he can improve, and he will, because he's excited to learn, and he loves to play hockey, and that's the most important thing.
Tuomo, what does he need to improve?
And I mean, overall game, I mean... There's always, when you're 18 years old, obviously you're not a perfect player, you know. You can always work on a defensive game, you know, you can always build more muscle. And that's only a good thing, because then, you know, you have still room to grow. But, you know, his strengths, I mean, he's got so many strengths. And I think his game actually really is going to be even better when he's going to the smaller ice surface, because he's one of the best I've ever seen. Protecting the puck and, you know, shooting from the small space and protecting the puck in a small area right now.
For anyone who didn't see the goal, would you just describe how he equalized against Denmark this evening?
Yeah, it was Denmark had a bad shift. They were, you know, going to the bench at the wrong time, and there was some tired demon in front of him, and you can only imagine that he saw that, and you know, he just dangled through the defenseman, and then obviously had pretty much an empty net because he made a great move to beat the goaltender as well.
So he takes it past one D-man, and then he dekes the next one, and he dekes him so wide that by this point both the Dane and the keeper are sliding their way across the ice, and he just reaches back in and tucks it inside the post. It probably looks simple to you, Tuomo, but I think the rest of us were picking our jaws back up off the floor.
It doesn't look simple to me either. You know, the way he put it to the net, Amos, you have to have a pretty flexible arms and wrists.
His goals, this is the other really impressive thing, have come so far against, Denmark tonight, but also Canada, Slovakia, not easy opponents. Next up, Finland are playing, oh my, Great Britain.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a different type of game. You know, what I've seen Great Britain play, you know, they played really defensively and a really passive game. So we'll see what's going to happen tomorrow.
We certainly will. If there is a weakness, a question mark over this Finnish side, what might it be?
To be honest, I mean, the question mark would be, has it been too good? because, you know, but there's still, you know, stuff to go, little tales you can work on. But if you think about it, they've had a good prowl play and, you know, their goalie has played well and they've had a great team effort. So, I mean, that's my only concern.
Tuomo Roto there and Finland looking good. 3-1 the final score against Denmark. And Kostić once more submerged in Kapokako fever. Third place in the group behind Finland, only 1 point behind our Canada, who won in their game today against France. Took a 3-0 lead, then let the French back into it. They got sloppy. I think it was their own appraisal of that. But in the end, Anthony Mantha once again coming up with a man of the match performance, and Canada got the win.
I think as well in this tournament, it's been kind of a theme with Canada. They played against Finland in the first game and lost. It took the last second to win against Slovakia. They just seemingly keep switching off defensively, and they have a very young defense, a very talented defense, but a very young defense, and I think that might play into it. Mm-hmm. But it was also a fantastic goal, speaking of fantastic goals, scored in that game today, with Sean Couturier going behind the back of the net, backhanding the puck to find Anthony Chiarelli, who finished in top corner.
So Canada looking good for the quarterfinals. Next up for France, who are all the way down in seventh, just ahead of Great Britain in the group. They've got Slovakia, Finland, and then they're against the GB team. That's going to be an interesting one. Now, how's your week been? Odds are it hasn't been as bad as Italy's. No points, no goals scored, and Wednesday taken for 10 by the Red Machine.
Zadorov for Gusev. Gusev goes cross ice, score. Shot scored. Yevgeny Kuznetsov. Kuznetsov all the way rink wide, and Ovechkin scores.
No one's scored so little, no one's conceded as much. Not that anyone would be aware back home, with even the country's biggest sport daily, the Gazzetta, barely reporting on their games. It's a long way from the glory days of the 90s when Italy hosted the championship and finished as high as sixth. Now, they've barely 5,000 registered players and their biggest clubs have been forced to migrate to leagues abroad. So what happened? Blogger Fiorenza Maria Zankin is the team's lone follower.
Certainly we don't have no more good players coming from overseas. Canadians and Americans were the strongest for our championship, so they could help the young players to grow up. Now this is missing, so that's the big problem. And then young players now don't like so much hockey, they prefer to play football, and so we don't have the change in senior national team. Hockey is not so followed in Italy, so we don't have money.
Italy's one bright spot so far in this championship has been the game with Latvia, which they lost only 3-0, thanks to keeper Andreas Bernard, who saved an extraordinary 62 shots.
Are you kidding me? Andreas Bernard, what a fight to the end. This one's going over top of him. He back cuffs it. Look at this. Get out of here. That is tremendous. Pekka Rinne-like.
Even that didn't last, though. In the next game with Russia, Bernhard was beaten after just 31 seconds and swapped out after barely a period.
Yeah, like that was a pretty nice play. I mean, the guy was alone, always had a shooting lane, and then he passed it to the middle. That was the guy, and then back door, like bang, 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 and goal. So, I mean, I knew it's going to be tough, but I wasn't prepared for the first shift, first goal. But, you know, you have to be ready all the time, and I give credit to the Russians.
What would it mean for Italian hockey for you guys to get a result and stay up?
Well, that's huge for us. You know, that might mean that we get some new sponsors, maybe some more money in the federation, and it would be huge for us. The thing is, when I was 14, we competed against the top teams, and we were there. And after 14, 15, 16, like, that's the most time where the change is happening in the other countries. So we have to find a way to get up back to those and try to work hard the same way that the other countries do. And maybe we should go and check out how the other countries work and maybe hire some coaches and some mentor or something like that and find a way.
In terms of your profile in Italy, staying up in the top division means that maybe people would take the team more seriously.
I think so, yeah. That would be huge for us. And maybe the media would get back in again. I mean, even like journalists, there's one from my hometown, and I don't know if there's anybody else, but still, like, it's weird because soccer team didn't make the World Championship last time and we are here, but there's no interest in that.
Well, with another tough game in store for Andres and the Azzurri, let's check now on Friday's schedule. Day 8, what awaits? Well, in Group A, France take on Slovakia, who can't finish. The Finnish, meanwhile, face plucky pucksters Great Britain. In Group B, Austria are up against Norway in what could be a crucial battle. And it's the Czechs who get their turn, as I mentioned, with Italy. Let's have a little look forward then to some of those. Finland GB, I think Tuomo summed it up for us pretty well. It could be interesting, and I think especially interesting or Ben Bounds, the GB keeper. Exceptional performance by him against USA. It's going to need something similar in this game if GB are going to get anything. France, meanwhile, a point ahead of them, taking on a Slovakia side. France, as we mentioned, they did look decent in this game against Canada, and they've looked decent in most of their games so far, but still only picking up 1 point. Having said that, in terms of hard luck tales, it's hard to beat their opponents on Friday. Slovakia, who were less than 2 seconds away from taking Canada to overtime, and then on Wednesday, they let that two-goal lead slip in the dying minutes against Germany to lose again. An interesting quote today from Michael Hanzus, now assistant coach, who was talking about the impact that's had on the team's morale.
We cannot tell anything bad about the guys. Guy play, they hurts out, they just battle, they play well, and it just, you know, it's a game of the inches. When you lose like that, it's devastating, sure, but you have to come back to your strength, and we play very well all games we played here. So we play 4 games, we play great hockey. So we have to come back and just do little things well again. Do those things what we did, don't change anything. Just to finish it off. That's all what we miss for, is just finish it off the game. And you have to do all the things well 60 minutes. I think we did it for 58, and then all of a sudden, a couple times, we made the mistakes, and, you know, we play against the great players also, so they capitalize on that. So you have to play 60 minutes, and all details, all the things you have to do well. And like I said, we cannot blame anybody. Just we lose as a team, and we play a great game, but, you know, not enough. You know, we need to find a way to win.
Michael Hanzus is now very much patrolling the bench, Alex.
He played for the Philadelphia Flyers and was he was a very good depth player for them in the middle six, a fantastic defensive presence, and a guy with a very keen hockey mind. So it's not a surprise he's ended up behind the bench.
They need some keen hockey minds, though, don't they? Because I'm not sure their game management has been their strength so far.
When they've taken the lead, they're still pushing and getting excited. And obviously, you don't want to just sit back completely, but at times they've made some really risky plays in the neutral zone and coming out of their own zone, which have led to mistakes.
Italy against the Czech Republic. Czechs, we'd make slight favourites for that. So let's talk, Carl, about Austria's clash with Norway. How do Austria pick themselves up from today's battering by the Swedes for what is a crucial game, as you mentioned earlier? Yeah.
Well, surprisingly, after the game today against Sweden, all the players, they were quite relaxed. It seemed like they expected to be defeated by even by this margin. And they just said, okay, we weren't ready for the first period, and we knew we had to be ready, and we weren't. So it was kind of as they expected, and they were already thinking about Norway. I had a feeling from the stands. So after three goals from the Swedes, it was pretty much we're focusing on Norway. And so the spirits high. So they're all very, very confident, surprisingly, compared to other tournaments before, when they were like, we might have a chance, maybe, if we play exceptionally well. And today, regarding Norway, they was like, yeah, we have a chance. We have a realistic chance to beat them. Of course, they're favorites. They stayed in the A group since 2006. So they know how to play on this level, and they know what they have to do. But confidence is surprisingly high in the Austrian locker room.
Have you seen much of Norway in this tournament?
Not so much, unfortunately, as I'd like to have. But we all know how Norway plays. They're focused on their goal. They're focused on staying up, and they know the teams they have to beat to stay in the A group. So they don't bother themselves with their games against Sweden or Russia.
Right.
They know it's Austria and Italy they have to beat, and that's what they're focused on.
Just as well, because those games didn't go well for them, and they are still on 0 points like Austria with a very similar goal difference as well. I guess the difference being that, unlike you, they've played all the tough games.
That could be an advantage for the Norwegians, that they have that behind them, and Austria still has the Czech Republic in front of them, so it could be that the Norwegians are more focused on the game tomorrow, and they also have one day rest that could play to their advantage.
Well, on their day off, they were having a little skate around on the training rink. I asked their one NHL player, Andreas Martinsson, afterwards if this start to the championship had been a little bit tougher than they'd been expecting.
No, I don't think so. We all knew that we could be in this situation after four games, and we played four of the best teams in the world. Especially the Sweden game was tough for us because we didn't, that's not the way we want to look. But I think the game against Switzerland was a step in the right direction, and we lifted ourselves a little bit and played more in a way that we want to play. And I think that's a positive that we're going to take with us.
A huge chance now against the likes of Italy and next up Austria for Norway to really show the championship what you can do.
Yeah, I mean, this is key games for us, and we're playing against teams that we are leveled with. So it's going to be fun, and it's going to be you guys are going to be a little nervous and feeling the tension a little bit, which I think is good. So I'm excited to play the next couple games.
Well, he sounds confident enough. Alex, what do you think? Are they a team that has been holding itself ready for the games that matter, or are they about to get found out?
I think the game versus Austria will be very interesting. I think there are similarly talented teams. I think actually Austria maybe have the better top-end players in Michael Raffel and Dominik Zverga, and Bernhard Starkbaum is also a very good goalie. But Norway just have more depth and a lot of SEL players, and quite frankly, a far better defence than the Austrians have on paper.
So favourites in this game?
I would say it's probably 60-40 favourites
okay.
for Norway.
And then you'll be counting on Italy.
Yeah, in the past there were some games like last year, we didn't expect to have a point after the Switzerland game, and they came quite close to having a good performance against Slovakia. They were just sloppy, and then they let that chance slip, but at the end they performed when they had to, and that gave us, it was surprising for us because we experienced so much bad play in the important games and tournaments before, but they delivered when they had to, and this gives us a little bit of hope.
I'm sure a lot of people are hoping that Austria can stick around because your fans are so much fun. And when you were 7-8-0 down today, they were leading a conga around the arena, which included a lot of Swedish fans. Basically, everyone had switched off from the game because it was pretty much foregone conclusion. But it was a wonderful atmosphere there.
Yeah, what they're trying to do is to bring something special to the tournament when they are in it, because most of the games against the favorites, they're not going to win, and they're not going to give them some highlights on the ice. So the fans try to make a positive impression wherever they travel.
Well, they certainly succeeded today. That was then Thursday, and a little look forward to Friday, which is going to be pretty special by the looks of it. We'll be back here tomorrow evening to round up all of the events from that matter. Don't forget, if you've enjoyed today's show, to rate and review us, and share and subscribe, why not, as well. And also check out that IIHF app with all the latest goals, with all the info and team news, etc. Alex and Carl, thank you very much for being with us today. And we look forward to seeing you again as the tournament continues. And you as well, listener, we'll be back after Friday's action. Look forward to speaking to you then.
The Totally Ice Hockey Show is a Muddy Knees Media production in association with In Front.